namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram, well, let us first of all read a few verses here from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter 15. We will read four verses, verses 5 to 8. This chapter 15 is the story of Lord Balaram killing Deinakasura. This is a nice story. Good story. The devotees like to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead killing the demons. They don't regard it as being something sort of, you know, whatever, strange or unpleasant. So I'm going to read these few verses, four verses, from the beginning of this chapter. And these verses, actually it is Lord Krishna speaking as he and Lord Balaram, with the cowherd boys and cows, move around near Govardhan Hill on the way to Talavan, which is where Lord Balaram killed Deinakasura. So they're just very beautiful verses glorifying Lord Balaram, and it is Krishna glorifying Lord Balaram. So very sweet and very beautiful. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aho ami deva varamara chitam padabhujante sumana palaranam namachipadaya shikavir atmanas tamo bhatyai tarujanma yatkritam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, said, O Balaram, greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. Ete linas prayasho kila lokater tham gayanta adi purushanu patam bhajante prayo ami munigada bhavati amokya gudam vade pinajahat yanagatma daivam. O Balaram, original personality, these beings must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. Nrityantyami shikani idya mudahariya kurvanti gopya ibate priyamikshanena Suktais ce copila gada grihav agatanya. Danya vanao kasayan isatam visanga. O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. Danyeyam adya darani trinavira das twat padas vishodramavata karajabi rishta nad yodraya kagabriga sadaya avokayar gop yontarena bujayor apiyat srihan sri. O Balaram, this earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet, and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. So these are four verses spoken by Lord Krishna.
Maharaj, yeah, we got a cast together. Chaitanya Charan is going to organize it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be ready
right now in the next 5-10 minutes.
I think in about 15.
15. That's good.
Also.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so this is Lord Krishna glorifying Lord Balaram, very sweetly, very beautifully. Lord Balaram is such a wonderful person. And here's the first expansion of Lord Krishna. And any other expansions, incarnations, avatars, or forms of the Lord of this type or that type, or whatever, they're coming from Lord Balaram, not from Krishna. Of course, Balaram is coming from Krishna, so in that sense, they're all coming from Krishna, but specifically, they all manifest from Lord Balaram. And so many things manifest from Lord Balaram. Things. But what we mean is things which give pleasure to Krishna. This is Balaram's idea. How to please Krishna. It's a very interesting point. Even though Krishna and Balaram are the same, Balaram is the first expansion, there's only one real difference, substantial difference, between Krishna and Balaram. You know what that is? Ah, Kala. Yes. Krishna, of course, is Shyama, blackish blue. And Balaram is white. When we say white, we don't mean like me. I am not exactly white as such. We mean actually white, like the clothes of, for example, Ajinacharya Prabhu here, nice and clean and white, and Raghunath Bhatta Prabhu, and various of the men dressed in white, means actually white. Perhaps this is the root of racial considerations. But in that sense, it's very nice, and we celebrate in the material world things which are celebrated In the spiritual world, in their material forms in the material world, they're not celebrated. And that's not just racial differences, but that's everything. Starting from love, the love of Radha and Krishna, the most celebrated thing here within this material world, actually it is the least celebrated. Of course, people may celebrate, but the thing is, it is the most degrading thing. In chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes the relationship of the spiritual world with the material world, giving the example of the reflected banyan tree. There's a tree standing on the edge of a lake, right on the edge. So in the lake is the reflection, and it is very, very precisely the same. The only problem is, well, there are two problems. One is, it's what everything is around the wrong way. That's a problem, isn't it? What's right is left, and what is left is right. And what is up is down, and what is down is up. In the reflection. So that's a very serious problem, and the second problem is it is insubstantial. Meaning, on the real tree, if there's a nice flower, you can sniff the flower and oh, it may be very fragrant and sweet. In the reflection in the lake, if you sniff the reflected flower, you get a mouth full of water, a nose full of water, and you will end up spluttering. And there won't be a nice smell, because it's just a reflection and there's no real value or substance to it. So anyway, the thing is, in the real tree at the top of the spiritual world is Radha and Krishna. In the reflection, the top of the real tree is at the bottom. And you know who's there at the bottom? Well, it's not Radha and Krishna. It's some material imitation Radha and Krishna. Okay, anyway. But Lord Balaram, he is Krishna's first expansion. And what is his idea in expanding further and manifesting this and that and so many things and everything? What is Balaram's idea? To please Krishna. How to do these things, manifest these things, so Krishna is pleased. All the different avatars, and even we have our roots in that sense in Lord Balaram. So the thing is, though, as we said, his idea is how to please Krishna. In other words, he is in the mood of a devotee. We mentioned this morning in Phoenix, Jiva Goswami, our great acharya, he says, if you ask Krishna, who is God? Krishna will say, me. If you ask Balaram, who is God? Balaram will say, Krishna. He can say me. He can say me. There's nothing slightly wrong with that. It's quite right. But he is in the mood of the devotee. So he sees, who is God? It is Krishna. Who am I? I am a devotee of Krishna. And my business is to please Krishna. By doing different things, providing different facilities, expanding myself in different forms to do different things, which will please Krishna in different ways. So therefore we understand in Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Balaram expands as, for example, Krishna's palace. It means Nanda Maharaj's palace. It is a form of Lord Balaram. He has specifically accepted that form. It is him. It is not just some bricks from Karo Brick, etc. No, no, no. It is Lord Balaram. After all, in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as dull matter. Everything is not a thing. Everything is everyone, including the rocks and the earth and the bricks and whatever else. So Lord Balaram takes the form, in order to please Krishna, he takes the form of Krishna's house. He takes the form of Krishna's shoes. Aha! What intelligent devotee would not do that if they had a chance? We hear of Krishna dancing on the heads of Kaliya and smashing him into submission, almost killing him. And we think, oh, Kaliya got the sauce, the hot chili sauce, the overly hot chili sauce, mother-in-law's revenge from Unit 2 Chatsworth. Red chilies spiced with red, with green chilies. Anyway, so we think, oh, just see how Kaliya got smashed, because he's a demon. But some devotees pray, may I get that position like Kaliya, so Krishna will dance on my head. And I'll get the touch of the Lord's lotus feet on my head. And maybe he'll be especially merciful and dance hard and beat some of the nonsense out of my head too. Right. So Balaram is Krishna's shoes of different types. Balaram is Krishna's clothes. Look at these clothes on Radhanath here. Our devotees have made them, of course, but still, any of Krishna's clothes, they're forms of Lord Balaram. He takes those forms to please Krishna. Krishna's umbrella, Krishna's jewelry, Krishna's nose ring is Lord Balaram. Isn't that amazing? He wants to please Krishna so much, he's taking this form and that's not enough. Now that form, but that's also not enough. And another form and that's not enough. And so many forms he's taken just to please Krishna, because he's in the mood of a devotee. He is Krishna's chair. He is Krishna's bed. And he's so many other things, actually. As one of our acharyas says, what is there which Lord Balaram is not for Krishna? And he takes forms in the different rasas. He is Ananga Manjari, Srimati Radharani's younger sister, is actually a form of Lord Balaram, to serve him in that way. And, for example, when Lord Krishna appeared in this world, we will be celebrating, of course, in a week or thereabouts. So, Lord Balaram appeared first. He is the older brother. Lord Balaram, first of all, went into the womb of Devaki. Then he was transferred into the womb of Rohini, who is generally taken to be his mother. Main sort of maternal relationship is there with Rohini. But Lord Balaram first entered the womb of Devaki and stayed there for some days until the attraction he felt for Rohini and the attraction Rohini felt for him dragged him out. It appeared to be a miscarriage. What was he doing there to start off with in the womb of Devaki? Why not go straight to the woman Rohini, who is really the main motherly figure for him? Aha! This is a very interesting point. It is described, and you'll find it in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada makes the point that Lord Balaram, in the mood of a servant, first of all, entered the womb of Devaki to get everything ready there for Krishna, because he knew Krishna is coming shortly. So Lord Balaram came into the womb of Devaki to inspect the facilities. See, I mean, we don't want to get to the graphic biological description, so make sure everything was working, and, you know, etc., etc. So that when Krishna came, he would be able to live there very comfortably, and not for long, but however long he wanted. So actually, this is the fact. This is the fact. Because he's in that mood of being the servant, he went into the womb of Devaki for a little while, just to put things right for when Krishna came. So we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many pastimes of Krishna, there are more pastimes of Krishna by far than pastimes of Balaram. But there are pastimes of Lord Balaram. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, well, who can tell me who, at least according to Srimad Bhagavatam, was the first demon killed by Lord Balaram? Some of you big Shastris, Bhakti Shastris, scholars. I hope you read Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, it was Dainakasura. Is that what you said, Madhu Manga? Okay, so he's a scholar. He's a book distributor. And who was the second demon killed by Lord Balaram? I beg your pardon. Pralambasura. Pralambasura. Got it right. Then another demon, well, actually, the next demon killed, not in Vrindavan, but at least in terms of how things are described in the Bhagavatam, was Rukmi. Then the next one. Now, where did Hari Dev go? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, one time, Lord Balaram in Gujarat province was dancing with some gopis. So they were dancing very sweetly, very beautifully, and with very deep devotion and spiritual affection. See how they're dancing? Isn't it just so nice? It's very devotional. And then who shall come? Who will meet her in the river? It's to meet her in the river. And he came and caused a disturbance. He caused a disturbance. So, wait a minute, where are you going? So, he was harassing the gopis. And you know what he did? He made a very rude noise by saying, and he did a very rude thing. I hope you don't mind this, but this is straight from Srimad Bhagavatam. He showed them his rear end. So, Lord Balaram, okay. Lord Balaram, seeing this, became very angry. Which missed. It was a very close miss. Then they just crushed it. Dwivedita, you know, Lord Balaram had a bottle of Varuni, which he was enjoying. Dwivedita grabbed the bottle out of his hands and ran a little bit. Picked up a tree and came rushing at Lord Balaram and hit him on the head. The Lord was completely unaffected. And he noticed that. He was just trying to encourage him by making him think he was affected. Actually, he was unaffected. Then Lord Balaram hit to a leader the gorilla on his head with his club. Struck by the Lord's club, Dwivedita staggered to his feet. Looking brilliantly decorated by the outpour of blood, like a volcano beautified by red oxide. Okay, so you understand. Dwivedita was so strong he ignored the wound and stood up, picked up another tree, tore all the leaves off it, and struck Lord Balaram again. Lord Balaram shattered the tree into hundreds of pieces with his club. Bang. Dwivedita grabbed another tree and furiously hit the Lord again. But the Lord smashed it into hundreds of pieces. So Dwivedita uprooted one tree after another and smashed Lord Balaram again and again. Very dramatically. And then another tree. And then another tree. Until there were no more trees. Then what happened? Oh yes. Dwivedita then came racing at Lord Balaram and struck him with his fists again and again. But Lord Balaram very casually hit him on the collarbone. And he fell down dead, vomiting blood. down. So just see, there are other pastimes. Like, for example, we'll just tell you this one, I think, because it would be difficult to get together. Deinakasura. Deinakasura came in the form of a donkey, a giant donkey. Not like these little donkeys you get out in the countryside in South Africa, a monster donkey. Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys were herding the cows. It was the Gopashtami day in Kartik. The first day Krishna and Balaram herded the cows. Up till that time, they had been herding the calves, but now it was the full-sized cows. Krishna had just recently turned 6. So he's a big boy now, 6 years old. Oh, yes. So they were wandering down past Govardhan Hill, approaching Talavan. And they smelled, coming from Talavan, the aroma of very beautiful and lots of ripe fruits. No one was going there to eat it because Sri Sri Radha Radhanath ki. Because Deinakasura was there, this gigantic demon in the form of a donkey. And if anyone would come and take some fruit, even if birds would fly in and eat some fruit, Deinakasura would kill them. But he would not eat the fruit. But he just wouldn't let anyone else take it anyway. Just see. He represents, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he represents the anatha, the unwanted contamination in the heart of the mode of ignorance. And ignorance, of course, ignorance is multifaceted. But one part of ignorance is envy. Someone has something you don't have, because you're too tamasic to get it. But then you become envious of them because they haven't. So he was like that. He wouldn't let anyone else take the fruit. He would kill them, but he wouldn't eat the fruit. He preferred to eat other things. We will not talk about that. If Krishnadas Maharaj was here, perhaps he would. But this was Deinakasura. So the cowherd boys smelt this powerful fragrance, so much ripe fruit. And they appealed to Krishna and Balaram. They said, "We want to eat the fruit. Please come and help us get it." Now, of course, they are pure devotees. And this fruit is bhoga. It is not offered to Krishna. So why is it that the cowherd boys are saying, "Oh, this fruit smells good, we want to eat it"? It is their trick. It is their trick. Because they are pure devotees. They would never dream of taking something and trying to enjoy it if it was not offered to Krishna. So the idea, the explanation is that actually they wanted to offer it to Krishna and Balaram, but they didn't want to put it like that because they were afraid Krishna and Balaram would say, "We don't need it. We have our lunchboxes." Because they come out every day with a lunchbox from home. All home cooked. No super chips. Yes. No Doritos. Only home-cooked things from Ma. Yes, from home. So, but they wanted to offer, express their affection by offering to Krishna and Balaram what were obviously very nice, ripe, beautiful, juicy fruits. So they put it that way. We want to eat the fruits because they knew. Krishna and Balaram are very compassionate to the devotees, so if they know we want to eat, they will want to facilitate us. This was their trick. So into the forest they went. And first thing, Lord Balaram put his arms around a big tal tree. Because it is Talavan, it is the forest of tal trees. Tal is a type of palm, but it has some sort of fruit. So, Balaram put his arms around the trunk of this tree and shook it very hard. And the fruits just came showering down. And the cowherd boys were very happy. Now we can offer them to Krishna and Balaram. However, Lord Balaram shook the tree so hard, the whole planet shook. There was an earthquake across not just the whole of Uttar Pradesh or the whole of India. There was an earthquake across the whole of planet Earth. If you check in the history books, if you can find them from 5,000 years ago from South Africa, you'll find on Gopastami Day, whenever it was, 5,000 odd years ago, here in Durban, there was a big earthquake, big tsunami, and all that. It was Lord Balaram. And Devakasura was sleeping nearby in the forest. Suddenly everything started shaking, and he was woken up in shock. And he thought, some rascal has come into my forest. So he jumped up and got ready to go, racing over to see who had caused this. And as he took off, he made very loud donkey noise. Please, someone demonstrate. Okay, not bad. It was much louder. Perhaps we should give it the microphone. Anyway, that's okay. You get the idea. But he made very big noise. Very big noise. Do it again. And came racing over, and there is Lord Balaram still shaking the tree. And so Devakasura knew, it is this white-skinned boy, he is the troublemaker. So he went racing straight at Lord Balaram. Right in front of the Lord, he spun around, and with his rear legs, kicked Lord Balaram really hard. And he turned around to see how far Lord Balaram had gone flying. But when he turned around to see, there was Lord Balaram just standing there, super cool, like nothing happened at all. Life is just going on. So there was great battle. Lord Balaram grabbed him by his rear legs and threw him 12 kilometers. And he landed on his head, which hurt him badly. And he fell unconscious a little. But then he got up and came racing back, thinking, this little white-skinned boy is pretty tough. Let me try some of the other boys, and maybe they'll be easier to deal with. So he came racing at the cowherd boys. First of all, the attack, Sridhar. But one thing you must know, don't underestimate the cowherd boys. Okay. By the grace of the Lord, some of them are as powerful as the Lord. So he came racing at Sridhar, Radharani's brother, to attack him. Balaram hit him on the head with a stick. Whack! Knocked him to the ground. Talk about giving him a what happened. He staggered to his feet. Subal came and punched him in the face. Knocked him to the ground again. As he's lying on the ground, Stoka Krishna came with his rope for herding cows and started whipping him. Oh, as they say in Chancellor. Two cowherd boys, Arjuna, not Arjuna from Bhagavad Gita, there's a cowherd boy, Arjuna, and Angsu, they came, they picked up Devakasura above their heads and threw him on the ground. Bang! As he's now lying there, partially stunned, Vishal and Rishabha came running up and kicked him hard. Talk about the Springboks versus the All Blacks. I remember I got on a plane many years ago to fly back to South Africa from somewhere, and the Springboks were on the plane. They had just... So, and I walked on it with my New Zealand passport, and the Springboks saw it. And they started saying some things. And I quickly whipped out my... I also had South African passport. And I told them, whoever wins is fine with me. And they became bewildered. So, but Vishal and Rishabha talk about kicking a goal from halfway. They can kick a goal from the other field and then score a goal. So now, Devakasura is still lying there on the ground, and Tejasvi, cowherd boy, jumped on top of him and tried to strangle him. And now, Devakasura is making his donkey noises, but in a choked way. Okay, we'll leave that to you. And Devaprastra, another cowherd boy, came running up and slapped him in the face. Now that's a what happened. Twan. As they say, Chancellor. Then there was one small boy named Bharutapa. But he's also a tough cowherd boy in training. He wanted to get in on the action, but he didn't know what to do. He had a ball. So he came racing at Devakasura and threw his ball in his face. Whack! So poor Devakasura, if we can put it that way. Then Devakasura got up, thinking what to do. And he saw Krishna, this dark-skinned boy. And he thought, phew, I tried everybody else, but not him. Let's try him. So he came racing at Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna grabbed him by his front legs and threw him 10 kilometers. He landed on top of Govardhan Hill on his head. And he was unconscious for 1 hour. Don't mess with Krishna. And then he got up again and came racing back. Let's see. He grabbed hold of Krishna and took him into the sky. 1.2 million kilometers. But Krishna punched him in the face, and Deinakasura fell from 1.2 million kilometers and landed on his head. Fortunately for him, he had a very strong head. Then Deinakasura did a very amazing thing. He picked up Govardhan Hill and threw it at Krishna. And Krishna caught Govardhan Hill and threw it back at Deinakasura, who caught it again and threw it back at the Lord. And the Lord then put it back in its place. Then Deinakasura was wondering what to do with these boys. I never met a group of boys like this before. Let me try that white-skinned boy again. So again he came racing at Lord Balaram. His idea was simply to just run over the top of him, hit and run. And just trample him and just run. Lord Balaram, with one hand, guess which hand? His left hand. Because Deinakasura is a demon. He's contaminated. With his left hand, Lord Balaram took both his front legs at one time, bang, and spun them around over his head. Just by the centrifugal force of the spinning, Deinakasura left his body. Goodbye, Deinakasura. Shri Baladev Ji Ki. And Lord Balaram spun him around and threw him up on top of one of the tal palms. Big, tall, had big trees. And he landed with such an impact, he bounced to the top of the next tree. And then the next one. And as he bounced from one tree to the other, each tree would fall down, and there was like a domino effect of all these trees falling down, and Deinakasura bouncing from the top of one to the next, and on. Wow, amazing. And then Deinakasura's friends came and attacked Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna and Balaram wiped them out. What a computer game this would be. Krishna and Balaram wiped them out. And then they just left. And they left all the fruit on the ground. And let the local Aboriginal people just take the fruit, because it had been contaminated by the blood of Deinakasura and his friends. So, you know, if we had more time, we could go on going through each of these pastimes of Lord Balaram in detail. But Deinakasura, when he was killed by Lord Balaram, it is stated in Shastra, leaving his body on top of one of the trees, he manifested a splendid, handsome, dark form, wearing yellow garments and carrying a forest flower garland. Then a chariot came from Goloka Vrindavan, filled with 100,000 associates of the Lord, running on 1,000 wheels, 12 kilometers long, traveling faster than the mind. And then the devotees on that chariot took the spiritual Devakasura in his spiritual form, now a liberated soul, purified through being killed by the Lord, now a pure devotee, took him by the hand, placed him on the chariot, and took him to Goloka Vrindavan. So when you go back to Goloka Vrindavan, hopefully at the end of this lifetime, you may meet one devotee there who will introduce himself, "I was Devakasura." Don't make the mistake I did. So there are many, there are all these different pastimes. The pastimes involving Balaram as the main character. There's Devakasura, then there's Pralambasura, then there's, very interesting pastime, when Krishna kidnaps Rukmini, the sister of Rukmi, who was a great demon. When Krishna kidnapped her, that is, according to Vedic culture, a type of wedding ceremony. If the young man kidnaps the young lady, it is called the Rakshasa wedding style. Don't any of you young men get any wise ideas? Or any of you young ladies? But now they're considered married. Rukmini pursued them. Krishna defeated him with ease. And then didn't want to kill him because just right in front of his sister, on her, so to speak, wedding day, to kill the brother right in front of her is not on. You should really not do it. But what he did, he decided to embarrass Rukmini. So he cut his hair off. It was something like a precursor to the punk rock hairstyle. A bit of hair sticking out here, and then bald. Then a bit of hair sticking out here, and a bit sticking out there, and a bit down there, and beard, you know, part of beard here, part of beard there, half a moustache. Are we going to create a new fashion? The Rukmini fashion. But then what happened was, Rukmini was very upset that her brother had been embarrassed like that. So Lord Balaram, very diplomatically, in a nice sense, spoke to Krishna and Rukmini. He chastised Krishna. "How can you do this? He is now our brother-in-law. You don't do things like this to relatives." And Rukmini standing there saying, "Yeah, right." Given the source. But then Balaram said to Rukmini, he said, "Well, you know, everyone gets their karma. And things don't happen to you unless it's your karma. So it must have been his karma." And Rukmini said, "Yeah, I guess you're right, okay." And then Balaram turned back to Krishna. "You should not have done this. This was as bad as killing him. And killing a relative is against the principles of Shastra." And Rukmini again said, "Yeah, right. Sock it to him." And then Balaram turned to Rukmini and said, well, you know what Kshatriyas are like. You know what they're like. They'll fight over anything. They'll even fight with their relatives. That's the way Kshatriyas are. So, what can you do? And Rukmini had to agree, yeah, you're right, actually. Even with relatives. So in this way, Lord Balaram pacified Rukmini. Otherwise, what a way to start a marriage. Big fight on the wedding day? Sure, not a good sign. Then Lord Balaram, a little later on, visited Vrindavan on behalf of Krishna to pacify the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Then he went to Hastinapur just before the battle of Kurukshetra to try to make peace, try to negotiate peace, because he's a good negotiator, Lord Balaram. He negotiated there with Rukmini. So he tried to go. He went to Hastinapur to try to negotiate peace. But the Kauravas would not listen. And in fact, they insulted Balaram. You are just a lesser Kshatriya family. We are the emperors. And you, the Yadus, you are under us. Now you're trying to tell us what to do. And big insult. The shoes are trying to go on the head. The shoes are trying to go on the head. Means you're very low. But we are the head. What an insult. So Lord Balaram didn't appreciate it. He took his plow, drove it into the ground just outside the walls of Hastinapur, and dragged Hastinapur to throw it, a whole city, into the Yamuna. Then, of course, well, Dravida, we met Dravida. And last pastime in the Bhagavatam, which Balaram really, he's the focal figure, is the killing of Romahashana Sutta. So if we had more time, we could explain about these pastimes. But today is Lord Balaram's appearance day. It is a very sacred occasion. And we should pray to him. He is known as the original spiritual master. How would that be appropriate? Because he is so close to Krishna. He knows Krishna. He knows Krishna. And he can tell you about Krishna. And he can tell you how to please Krishna. In fact, that is simply his meditation, how to please Krishna. And when he sees other people trying to please Krishna, he becomes very pleased with them. So if we, as aspiring devotees, if we pray to Lord Balaram, you are the original spiritual master, please help me to become a proper servant of your beloved Lord, Sri Krishna. If we pray to Lord Balaram like that, certainly he'll fulfill our desire. So like this, we should pray to Balaram on his appearance day and glorify Balaram on his appearance day. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. Are we ready for the next stage? Yeah?